think there's a big difference in kicking superior officers out of the Oval Office, looking the FBI director in the eye and saying, hope you let this go.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And there was everything yesterday. The president lied, we heard. Speculation about furtively recorded tapes, we heard. Leaked memos, we heard about. Obstruction of justice, all emerged in historic Senate testimony from fired FBI Director James Comey. An attempted rebuttal from President Donald Trump's deputy press secretary insisted the president is not a liar. And a statement from Trump's personal attorney, Mark Kasowitz, declared Comey one of an army of leakers. And Kasowitz's client, the president, cleared. But there was no argument from anywhere on the severity of the allegations of Russian interference in the U.S. 2016 elections. Here's James Comey.
The reason this is such a big deal is we have this big, messy, wonderful country where we fight with each other all the time. But nobody tells us what to think, what to fight about, what to vote for, except other Americans. And that's wonderful and often painful. But we're talking about a foreign government that, using technical intrusion and lots of other methods, tried to shape the way we think, we vote, we act. That is a big deal. And people need to recognize it. It's not about Republicans or Democrats. They're coming after America, which I hope we all love equally.
We anxiously return now to our reliable and experienced voice on all these matters or investigations, Robert Ray, former federal prosecutor who served as independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation, currently a partner at Thompson and Knight. Welcome.
Thank you.
First of all, you had Comey saying, I was slandered. What's your response to that? That whole business of Rosenstein's memo and the reason that Comey was fired, that amounted to a slanderous, lying treatment of him by the president of the United States.
Well, Director Comey was quite clear in his testimony yesterday that he didn't buy it, you know, as being the reason why he was fired.
I take the president at his word that I was fired because of the Russia investigation. Something about the way I was conducting it, the president felt, created pressure on him that he wanted to relieve.
As his testimony indicated, he took the job as FBI director because of the fact that he could act independently. And he has struggled with that issue now over the course of three presidencies. First, President George W. Bush, then President Obama and his dealings with Loretta Lynch, and now finally with President Trump. It is not an easy position to be in. And of relatively recent vintage is the notion that an FBI director should remain independent, and there are structural reasons for that imposed by the Congress, which is a 10-year term intended to be one where the FBI director acts independently of any administration for reasons that we learned most recently in Watergate, and that is a president using the tools and powers, or interfering with the tools and powers of the criminal law and the FBI, is a dangerous thing.
The question of trust came up again when Comey was asked about his propensity to write down notes.
I knew that there might come a day when I would need a record of what had happened, not just to defend myself, but to defend the FBI and our integrity as an institution and the independence of our investigative function.
That's the riveting part of the testimony. You know, this is how government works in the real world. And he made an assessment. You know, he said, and he was asked, well, why did you do that? It was one part who I was dealing with, one part the context, meaning that he was asked to see the president alone. And the third part was, you know, what was being discussed.
What did it feel like to have the president of the United States say, I hope that XYZ happens in this case, meaning I hope the investigation into the Russia business and Flynn goes away. He was asked by among the most conservative senators on the panel that question. And
he was quite clear what the response was.
I took it as a direction.
Right.
I mean, this is the president of the United States with me alone saying, I hope this. I took it as, this is what he wants me to do. Now, I didn't obey that, but that's the way I took it.
You may have taken it as a direction, but that's not what he said.
Correct.
He said, I hope.
Those are exact words. Okay. Correct.
You don't know of anyone that's ever been charged for hoping something. Is that a fair statement?
I don't, as I sit here.
What the president's hopes and intimations are, And that's a significant thing when you're the president, having that power is quite a different question than whether or not hopes and intimations add up to corrupt intent that would be provable in the context of trying to show that the president committed obstruction of justice. So I remain convinced, notwithstanding the testimony yesterday, that Bob Mueller will quickly conclude – how quick, I guess, is open to question – that there's not a case there to be brought, let's say, once the president leaves office, for the president to face indictment and prosecution for obstruction of justice. I don't think that's ever going to happen.
Now, you are making the distinction that Donald Trump saying, I hope, you know, my daughter, you know, wins the beauty contest is different than I hope something happens that I know you can take care of for me.
Sure.
Those two are very, very different. But
understand the difference. But look, I had a similar situation arise during the Whitewater investigation. As you know, Whitewater just wasn't about Whitewater. It became ultimately about Lewinsky. But before we even got to Monica Lewinsky, in the middle of all of that was the firing of the White House travel office employees.
Right.
There was no question in my mind after a thorough investigation that Hillary Clinton was unhappy with the work of the travel office, and unhappiness was expressed – you know, she didn't have an official position, but she was, in fact, the president's spouse and the first lady. And if the first lady expresses hopes and intimations about the course of the White House travel office's work and people take action to fire the travel office, the question was when she testified under oath that she had nothing to do with the firing of the travel office employees, was that testimony false? My judgment was absolutely it was false, not unlike what we have here. You know, did Director Comey think that he was being told to end the investigation? He testified quite clearly. That's what I understood the president to mean. But understanding what the president to mean or any powerful person, including Hillary Clinton in the travel office case, is not the same thing as saying that if someone later on said, well, as the president was asked, did you direct the FBI director to end the investigation? He can truthfully answer, no, I did not, because he didn't order him to do it. He didn't tell him to do it. All he said was, is I hope you can see your way to. Now, we all understand that when a powerful person and the most powerful person in the world, the president of the United States, talks about what he'd like to see, you know, the idea is that the people who work for you do what you ask, generally speaking, unless what you're being asked to do is a violation of law.
And a defense would be, you know, I really hope this investigation goes away because we got problems in North Korea and I need to not be distracted
and
here.
He's
and
right.
That's a perfect defense.
And he's right about that.
Right,
the country is being impaired while this cloud hangs over the administration. And he's entitled to push back, right? And if he pushes back, he certainly shouldn't be subject to criminal prosecution once he leaves office. I mean, there's got to be sort of a free zone there to be able to make decisions as he is entrusted to do as the chief executive of the United States, including if he likes – even if he had directed Jim Comey to end the investigation, that's his prerogative. Now, he may be subject to impeachment for that act, but he shouldn't be subject to prosecution. He's entitled to make personnel decisions, and he's entitled to tell the FBI, I want you to stop this investigation, or I want you to take a look and investigate this rather than something else.
Impeachment is a political act. That's a reminder that anyone who understands the Constitution needs to remember. We're going to talk about that in 2 seconds, but first – what do you make of the Trump response, his personal attorney saying, number one, Comey is one of the leakers, and second thing, that he's completely exonerated because, as we know from the public record, Comey says, and was even asked in the testimony, that, you know, whether Trump was being investigated for a particular aspect of all of this, and the answer to that was no. Is number one, the president exonerated by that statement? Will Mueller think so? And number two, is this question of being a leaker something that you find credible?
No, I think the leaker part is a distraction. I mean, you know, first of all, what did he leak? He leaked his own mental impressions that were documented and recorded in official memos. I mean,
so not classified privileged information.
Not classified. I mean, arguably, it could be seen to be subject to executive privilege, but I think an equal argument in response to that is that by the president's own words and actions to discuss it, he probably waived it.
On this exoneration question, he was not being investigated personally.
That's a significant point. I mean, when I saw the – even before Director Comey's testimony, the night before, the afternoon before when the statement was released, I'm reading down the statement and I did what a lot of people do. When I came across the first instance where Jim Comey told the president, you're not under investigation, I wrote number one down. Hmm. And then I kept reading and I looked and there it was, second time, number two. And then I finally got to the end and sure enough, there it was, Director Comey on the third occasion assuring the president that you were not under investigation, number three. So that means that, you know, President Trump, at least with regard to that, was telling the truth.
Here's the civics lesson. So impeachment is a political act. It's not really dependent upon the specifics of crime, except indirectly. What it really depends on is there evidence in looking at the hearings yesterday of Republicans who might be inclined to give President Donald Trump a really hard time in this investigation, and the votes may suddenly go against the president of the United States. Quick impression on that?
My quick impression is that until the Congress changes party, which is to say it can't happen until the midterm elections, I do not believe that the president needs to be concerned about impeachment, either in the House through articles of impeachment, or more importantly, that the Senate on a bipartisan basis would be able to convict on that basis. That's not going to happen in the foreseeable future. Now, if the Congress changes hands and the House and the Senate are both controlled by Democrats, you know, that might be a different question. But that's not going to happen in the next 2 years.
You recognize this voice?
What did the president know and when did he know it?
Yes. Howard Baker.
Tennessee Senator, Republican.
Yes, during Watergate.
Who essentially was part of the group of Republicans that turned, that for whatever reason saw Watergate as a significant crisis for the presidency and turned on Richard Nixon,
yes,
their president. And in the case of Baker, maybe also saw, hey, you know, the opportunity here is for me to become a national political figure, which he did become.
That's why this is a political issue. Again, the system is designed structurally by the framers to require, in order to remove a president, if something extraordinary has happened, and in the political context of parties, which weren't entirely envisioned by the framers, but ultimately, you know, in short order in our history, became, you know, the operative feature of a democracy, at least in this country, it requires, in order to meet the high threshold of a two-thirds vote to remove in the Senate, there be a bipartisan consensus, meaning both parties have to be on board with the removal of a president. That's an extraordinary thing. And that's not going to happen, obviously, at least in my view, in the current environment, unless that environment changes.
Robert Ray, former federal prosecutor and independent counsel for the Whitewater investigation during the Clinton years. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.